This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Are you concerned that some of your loved ones who didn't accept Jesus Christ in their lives and who have died are now being tortured in an ever-burning hellfire? If you are, let me tell you right now, don't be concerned, because that is not what is happening. I know that many people believe in such a hell, an ever-burning hellfire, torturing the poor souls forever and ever. And I recently listened to some excerpts from a program by Pat Robertson, who explained exactly that. And not only did he talk about an ever-burning hellfire, but the souls of those poor people who have died are now being tortured. He also mentions that Samuel was in hell, coming out of hell when King Saul allegedly brought him up from the netherworld, the underworld, through a witch. Now, I have never heard that concept before. It is a preposterous and absolutely unbiblical idea. Now, we have published a free booklet. Is that in the Bible? The Mysteries of the Book of Revelation. You can have a free copy of this booklet. Just write us and we'll be happy to send it to you. But in that booklet, we also refer to another one talking about hell. It's entitled Hell, an Illustrated History of the Netherworld. Now, the illustrations aren't all that great, but this author, the name is Richard Grace, has a lot to say about where the concept of hell actually comes from. Because, you see, it doesn't come from the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach it at all. It is taken from the pagan concepts. Paganism is the author of hell. I'd like to read a few excerpts to you from this book. It says, "The old horned gods of the Stone Age people became the new rulers of hell. There was a sort of logic in locating the place of the dead below ground, the underworld, because that was exactly where the dead were buried. The early Christians, I like to say the early nominal Christians, I don't believe they were true Christians at all, but the early nominal Christians borrowed hell's name, and now it's spelled H or H-E-L, and that is the goddess Hel, H-E-L, ruling over the place of the lost souls in the Viking mythology. So they borrowed that name for their own place of punishment. The early, again, nominal Christians borrowed heavily from earlier mythologies. And the generally accepted appearance of Satan is an amalgamation of such things as the horns and shaggy hindquarters of the Greek god Pan, P-A-N, the wings of the Mesopotamian devil Pazuzu, P-A-Z-U-Z-U, and the scales and dragon skin of the Persian Achidahaka. I don't even try to pronounce that. Nevertheless, these are all pagan gods and goddesses. The Greeks borrowed freely from the Babylonians. Pluto, Zeus' brother, governed hell with a merciless severity and subjected his poor guests to the most ingenious tortures. Others were consigned to the deep bottomless pit ruled by Kronos. Here they would suffer eternal torment. Sinners were tortured for eternity. The Romans knew exactly where hell was located, underneath Italy. Everything else they borrowed from the Greeks." And then it goes on to say, and that is something you should take care of and note of very, very astutely. It was the Synod of Bishops in Constantinople in 543 that set the seal on hell when they decreed that if anyone shall say or even think that there's an end to the torment of ungodly persons or that there ever will be an end to it, then let them be excommunicated. And they promptly excommunicated Origen, an early church father, for saying that he thought hell was finite. He goes on to explain that the early, and I would like to add, nominal Christians introduced the concept of a sort of waiting room where souls would stay for a while. They found a ready-made idea, limbo, that they freely borrowed from the Romans. Again, limbo isn't mentioned in the Bible at all. Who had borrowed it from the Greeks. Limbo became a place where anyone who didn't quite fit could be put. Purgatory, again another concept not mentioned in the Bible, was a cross between limbo and hell. Now listen to this astonishing statement. Jesus' mother, the Virgin Mary, was called back from heaven, where she had been asleep. The dormition, as it's called. She was given the keys of hell to look after and the running of the purgatory. She does not administer any punishments. In fact, her main job seems to be protecting the souls of the sinners from the wrath of her Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to believe that, that is the teaching of the Catholic Church. Did you know that? He goes on to say, purgatory became a sort of temporary hell, but one from which sinners could be released. We point out in our booklet on the mysteries of the book of Revelation that the word hell in reference to fire is a translation of the Greek word Gehenna. And where does that word come from? Now, the Bible does talk about a fiery furnace or the lake of fire in the book of Revelation, but it's talking about something where people will be burned up, those who have rejected Jesus Christ and God the Father, even though they knew better. Those who have committed the unpardonable sin, they will be burned up. They won't be tortured there forever, but they are not in it now. Death is asleep. People who die, they are, quote-unquote, sleeping in their graves, awaiting the resurrection from the dead. Nobody is in hellfire right now as I speak. Now, Kreis explains that Gehenna, the place of fire, is probably used or named after the place just outside Jerusalem where the household rubbish, including the bodies of criminals and animals, were burned. And by the way, the Nelson Study Bible also states the imagery of hell, frequently called Gehenna, comes from a garbage dump outside the walls of Jerusalem. Jesus' hearers were familiar with the smoldering fires that always burned there, close quote. And so he used that imagery to explain that ultimately, after what we call the third resurrection, or during the third resurrection, I should say, people will be thrown into this lake of fire to be burned up. You know, Grace explains that this is actually a place which was known to the hearers in Jesus' days. We point out that Gehenna, which is designated the valley, or which is coming from the valley of Hinnom, is located outside Jerusalem, and that trash, animal carcasses, and even the dead bodies of criminals were thrown into that fire to be burned up. And of course, that's explained more in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. But the point is, they are being burned up. Those who are being thrown into that lake of fire, which isn't burning today, by the way, which is going to burn during the third resurrection, they will be burned up. You see, the Bible throughout is explaining to us that people will be burned up. They will be destroyed. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27, for example, says that the wicked wait for God's fiery indignation that will devour them. Devour them. Christ talks about the same thing, and John the Baptist talks about the same thing in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. The wicked are compared with the chaff that will be burned up with unquenchable fire, or with fire which won't be quenched. In other words, no human being will quench it. But once there's nothing more to burn, it will go out by itself. The same terminology is used, for instance, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4 and verse 4. I'd like to read it to you. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And that is exactly what happened later, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 27, where we read, but if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. You see, it went out by itself, and there was nothing more to burn. This is what Christ is talking about. Yes, there is going to be a lake of fire, and yes, the wicked are going to be destroyed in it. But they're going to be destroyed in it, in that fire, and ultimately it will go out when there's nothing left to be burned. You see, throughout the Bible, in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, And verses 1 and 3, notice what it says. The wicked shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And it says they will become ashes under the feet of the righteous. And you read in the book of Obadiah, in the 16th verse, it will be as if they had never been. Now what about this amazing concept that Samuel was in hell and that Saul, through a witch, brought him out of hell? That is so blatantly nonsensical. You see, Samuel was a prophet. He had died. God had said, I am not going to speak to you, Saul, any longer through the words of prophets. The one who came up through this witch in this seance was a demon who pretended to be Samuel. You see, Saul didn't see it. It was the witch who communicated to Saul what she, quote-unquote, saw. And so this was not Samuel who came out of the grave somehow, out of hell. He is in the grave, he is asleep, awaiting the resurrection to righteousness from the dead when Christ returns. Now what about this concept where Christ is talking about there's going to be gnashing of teeth and trembling and shaking and all of that? Well, let's read very quickly what Christ is saying. First in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's he talking about? Is he talking about that they will be always in some kind of a state of darkness forever and ever? Well, if that's the case, how do you explain the lake of fire? No, he goes on to explain in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, burned up, destroyed, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and lawlessness is defined as a transgression of the law. That is what sin is, a transgression of the law. And they will cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And why is it called darkness as well? When they are being thrown into the lake of fire, Christ is showing a comparison here, because he goes on to say in verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. In other words, those who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, they are going to shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They won't be in it. And so Christ is going on to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? Do you believe this nonsense in an ever-burning hellfire where your loved ones are being tortured right now? I pray that you are not. I pray that you are listening to what the Bible says. I pray that you are asking for our free booklet on the mysteries of the book of Revelation, which explains in great detail that there is not such a hell. But it also explains what is going to happen to those who reject God completely, and also what your potential is, and what the kingdom of God is, and how you can enter it. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.